In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory," helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about time alone with God. The most important time of the day. And I hope that you can manage to arrange your schedule so that you can get up early. You might just be amazed at what a difference it'll make for all the rest of the day if you force yourself, discipline yourself, govern yourself, rule yourself to get out of bed. When that alarm clock rings, put your feet on the floor. Get up first, as Oswald Chambers says, and think about it later. I want to read a little bit more from A.W. Tozer's little leaflet called Exposition Must Have Application. He says, "Theological truth is useless until it is obeyed. The purpose behind all doctrine is to secure moral action. What is generally overlooked is that truth, as set forth in the Christian scriptures, is a moral thing. It is not addressed to the intellect only, but to the will also. It addresses itself to the total man, and its obligations cannot be discharged by grasping it mentally. Truth engages the citadel of the human heart and is not satisfied until it has conquered everything there. The will must come forth and surrender its sword. It must stand at attention to receive orders, and those orders it must joyfully obey." There's obviously no point in having time alone with God unless you're going to allow the truth to engage the citadel of your heart, and unless you're going to see to it that your will surrenders its sword. You will stand at attention, you will receive your orders in this quiet time alone with God, and then for the rest of the day, you're going to obey them. One of the questions that I'm always wanting to ask is, what kind of a difference is Jesus Christ making in my life? Is there a difference between Monday and Saturday, or is it only on Sunday when you go to church and do the formal things? Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. How in the world can we do this? I can't be consciously praying while I'm working on my computer. I'm not necessarily consciously praying while I'm writing a letter. Sometimes I am. Sometimes when I'm peeling an onion, I'm consciously praying, or when I'm taking my walk. But certainly not 24 hours a day. But how can we do this? I do believe that it can be done by making all of life an offering. All of my life. It is a transforming principle that when I am doing my housework, I am doing it for God. When I'm doing my radio programs, I'm doing it for God. When I'm doing my newsletter, I'm doing it for God. When I'm taking a walk, I'm doing it for God in the sense that my body, which needs exercise, has already been completely surrendered to Him. Let's give ourselves time to think over these things in that quiet time alone with God. Is all of your life an offering, or are there areas in it or factors that you would not feel comfortable offering to God? Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. So all that I am, all that I have, and all that I do, and all that I suffer, I am to offer up to Him. Now I have a little prayer card, which you might want to call Gateway to Joy or write to them. You can get a copy of this, but this is just a simple prayer of commitment, of surrender. Some of you who are looking for help in prayer or in beginning a personal devotional life alone with God might find this helpful. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, I offer up today all that I am, all that I have, all that I do, and all that I suffer, to be yours today and yours forever. Give me grace, Lord, to do all that I know of your holy will. Purify my heart, sanctify my thinking, correct my desires. Teach me in all of today's work and trouble and joy to respond with honest praise, simple trust, and instant obedience, that my life may be in truth a living sacrifice, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, my Master and my all. Amen. I've given up my right to myself. I have surrendered myself to Jesus Christ, and so I am not my own. And this quiet time in the morning, alone with God, is not primarily meant to get, but to give. That's the first thing that I want to emphasize. Let's try to make it an offering to God, a giving, a lifting up of my heart. And then, of course, I want to receive whatever God wants to give me. There are different kinds of prayer: thanksgiving, confession, intercession, praise, silence. Did you realize that one form of prayer can be silence, or that silence can be a form of prayer? I believe so. My prayers ought not to be primarily meant to twist God's arm to my desires, but rather to bend my will to his desires. Amy Carmichael wrote, "And shall I, pray thee, change thy will, my Father, and be, until it be according unto mine? But no, Lord, no, that never shall be. Rather, I pray thee, blend my human will with thine. I pray thee, hush the hurrying, eager longings. I pray thee, soothe the pangs of keen desire. See in my quiet places wishes thronging. Forbid them, Lord, purge, though it be with fire, and work in me to will and do thy pleasure, till all within me, peaceful, reconciled, tarry content my well-beloved's leisure. At last, even as a weaned child." And I've discovered, this is certainly my testimony, that the more I bend my will to God's desires instead of trying to twist his arm to mine, peace comes. Peace like a river, as I learn this. Some listener today, I'm sure, is feeling very discouraged, useless, helpless, sinful, and far from God. In the words of Samuel Rutherford, I would urge you to come to the deep, sweet well of love. That's Jesus Christ. He doesn't feel far from you. He's right there. He's looking down on you. He loves you. He's glad if you turn to him. He's waiting for it, and he loves to hear your prayers. Never mind how discouraged or useless or helpless or sinful you might feel, I want to say, so what else is new? That describes all of us at times, doesn't it? The deep, sweet well of love is Christ. Someone has said, God gives us thirst for love and then makes bitter all the earthly wells wherein we seek to satisfy our burning. And so we look above and find at last the only spring that quells the longing and the yearning. That spring is Jesus Christ. God said, you have hewed out for yourselves broken cisterns which can hold no water, and you have turned away from the water of life. So I say to you today, come back. He's waiting. And then in our prayer time, our quiet time with God, there should be what is called oblation, a gift, an act of giving, anything offered in worship or service. If you sing a hymn, that can be an act of giving. You offer it to God. if you simply give yourself this body, I present my body as a living sacrifice. That's an oblation. All the things that I've been talking about this week fall into the category of prayer, putting yourself in God's presence, remembering that He is there, because we are told that God is omnipresent, remembering that He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what you're going to pray about before you start praying, doesn't He? Is there any point in praying? Yes. He wants to hear from you. He's looking down on you. He lives in me. Christ liveth in me. He is present here in the room. As I walk, as I drive, as I work, as I read the Word, as I ask for correction, instruction, help, blessing, thanksgiving, intercession. Intercession usually means prayer for other people. And if you're anything like me, you can't remember all the people you need to pray for, so you make lists. I have a Monday list and a Tuesday list, etc. And I also have a daily list, quite a long list of people that I pray for every day. Offering, oblation, acceptance of the present moment. These are some of the elements that might go into your quiet time with God. And if you say, well, Elizabeth, I've only got 10 minutes. How in the world do you expect me to fit in all that stuff? Correction, instruction, help, blessing, thanksgiving, intercession, offering, oblation, acceptance of the present moment. I can't do it. Is there no time for all of this? How much does it take? Maybe you haven't tried it. You might just be amazed at the few seconds in which you can present yourself to God or offer up a prayer. It's contact, it's communion, it's the lifting up of your heart that matters. And then you begin to learn to practice the presence of God all day.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.